Hello, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. College Life is a ministry of Countryside Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit countryside.church or follow us on Instagram at CS College Life. We hope you enjoy the message.
High school, I went to a private Christian high school, and everybody I knew lived and breathed Jesus. And in fact, if you were to know me, especially in middle school, I was kind of the guy that knew things about the Bible, where I thought that I was saved. I like knew a bunch of stuff and people would come to me for spiritual advice. But in reality, it's like, I didn't really know, because summer before my junior year of high school, I read Romans 6. And in it, Paul asks the question, what benefit did you get from the things that you're now ashamed of? And then if you keep reading in that chapter, he explains that the life that someone lives, they're a slave to the thing that they obey. Whether that be death and destruction, which leads to death, or whether you're a slave to God, which leads to life. And then I started thinking about my life, and anything that I wanted, I was there for. Like, I want to play these video games, I'm there. I want to watch pornography, I'm there. I want to live for myself, I'm there. I want to date this girl, I'm there. And all of my desires called my name, and I was there. I was a slave to myself, and when God called my name, I ignored. I was not a slave to God. That's not how I would describe myself. And summer before my junior year, I sat there and I realized, like, oh my gosh, when you give your life to Jesus, you give your life, like who you are, to Jesus, meaning you become a slave to him. It's a revolutionary idea. But I read this and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not saved. And that summer, I put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ alone, and he changed me completely. My desires started to shift, where his spirit living inside of me because I've trusted him started to change who I was. My focus in my life started to shift. What I wanted out of my future changed. What I wanted for my time changed. Everything about me shifted. And this is the type of change that the Thessalonican church has experienced. This semester, we're going to be looking at every verse through 1 Thessalonians, looking at what we're calling the Holy Spirit's church. A church that trusted in Jesus, and whenever you trust in Jesus, God sends his spirit to dwell inside of you, the Holy Spirit, to lead you and to guide you and to kind of grow you in your relationship with God. The fancy word for that is sanctify you, make you more like God. And this church didn't have a lot of opportunity to learn about who God was through the Bible or through wise people at the time. They were forced to rely on the Spirit. And because of that, they were fundamentally changed. The first time I ever studied the book of 1 Thessalonians, I was a freshman in college, and my roommate took me to the living room of Steve Buzzard, and I sat on his carpet as a bunch of different guys who were older than me, more wise than me, and from different walks of life, talked me through 1 Thessalonians, and I saw their example in faith. My prayer for us as we study this book is that we would walk in their example of being people who are transformed and changed by Jesus and get to walk with his spirit for the rest of our lives. So tonight, we will get to cover all of the verses later in the semester, but tonight we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 1, and that's going to lay a foundation for the rest of the semester. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't actually know if I mentioned it earlier, 1 Thessalonians is a letter. It's a letter written by people to the Thessalonican church. Now, if we were to write a letter today, we'd put the recipient at the top and the sender at the bottom. It'd be like, to Sally, you're my dearest love, blah, 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 love Johnny. We'd put the recipient at the top and the sender at the bottom. In the New Testament and during these Roman times, they actually would generally write letters a little bit differently, where they would put the sender at the top, then the recipient, and then all of the stuff. And that's exactly what happens here. In verse 1, it says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, those would be the senders of the letter, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. So we see that it's written by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, and it's written to the church of the Thessalonians who are in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, a question that we would want to ask ourselves is, how did the Thessalonians respond when they saw the names of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy come at the top of that letter? Like, what sort of emotions did they get when they saw that? Just opening up 1 Thessalonians, if you knew nothing about the Bible, you would have no idea who these guys are. You'd be like, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Cool. Don't know them. But the Thessalonican church knew them well. And for us to get to know a little bit of their story, we'd have to turn to the book of Acts. Now, you don't have to turn there, because if we were going to read Acts, we would see that most of Acts is actually Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy's story. So it's a lot to go through. We won't be able to do it all tonight. But if you go to the book of Acts, it's written by Luke. And it's actually one of the most historically accurate documents from that time period from a secular perspective. So we know that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were actual real people. What Acts tells us about Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy is actually pretty exciting. You see, Paul is actually one of the main characters of Acts. And Paul started off his life as one of the religious elite. He was what we would call a Pharisee. These people were in charge of knowing what the right thing to do is and making sure people did it. Paul cared more about being correct and other people doing the correct thing than actually their relationships themselves. And Paul was incredibly aggressive. He was non-gentle. And this actually showed in a lot of his relationships with Christians. You see, Christians are followers of Jesus Christ. And what we believe is that God the Father became a man named Jesus and lived a perfect life, died for our sins and resurrected so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus claimed to be God himself. And to a Pharisee like Paul, that was blasphemous. So when Christians would go around saying that Jesus is God, Paul, trying to make everybody correct, would get aggressive with them. Acts says that Paul ravaged the church, that he drug people out of their homes and put them in prison, that he approved of people's murders. He was aggressive and non-gentle. Paul, traveling to a city or a town called Damascus, had an experience, though, that transformed fundamentally who he was. And he had experience with Jesus. See, Paul was traveling to Damascus to continue to put people in prison when all of a sudden a bright light shone on the road. And calling out to him was Jesus saying, "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul kind of asks, like, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus goes on to explain kind of what's going to happen. Paul's going to go into Damascus, and there a Christian will heal him of his blindness that Paul now has because of the light of Jesus. And then Paul was going to be used by God for a great many works. So Paul ends up becoming blind and is carried into Damascus by those who are with him. And a Christian comes to him and prays over his eyes. And Acts records that immediately after Paul got some food, he went and he started proclaiming Jesus to everyone. He started introducing people to Jesus that hadn't known him before. Paul was changed, and Acts says it was immediate. As soon as he trusted in Jesus, Paul changed. Paul went from someone who was a part of the religious elite to leaving the religious elite and joining the Christians, the religiously rejected, but the ones who had hope. And he started to care more about introducing people to Jesus so that they could be changed too than anything else. And on top of that, Paul became gentle. Antioch, and there he was praying with his friend Barnabas and a bunch of other people, and God called him to do what all Christians are meant to do. But he called him to a specific place in modern-day Turkey to go introduce people to Jesus who have never met him. And so Paul and Barnabas, being called by God, go and they introduce people to Jesus who have never met in places like Cyprus and then all across modern-day Turkey. They just go to town after town after town, introducing folks to Jesus, and they saw time and time and time again people's lives being changed by Jesus in the same way that Paul's was. Church after church after church was planted and people's lives were changed by Jesus because they were introduced to him. People were having experiences with Christ that transformed them. Y'all kind of getting the point? Jesus changes lives. So after he went on this journey to Turkey, he came back and told everybody what was going on. When he told everybody what was going on, they said, "Hey, we're going to write a letter to kind of clear some things up for them and we'll send you back out there." And that is when he met a man named Silvanus. Now, Silvanus also goes by Silas, which is way easier to say. Silas was known as a Christian man who walked faithfully with God. And so Silas and Paul kind of link up together and they go back through Turkey, encouraging the churches that Paul planted. And Silas and Timothy are folks that benefit from Paul's change because now Silas is rubbing shoulders with Paul. And Paul, because of his transformed life, because of Jesus, is able to encourage Silas. And Silas was able to encourage Paul. And they go to these churches and encourage all of them. And when they get to a church, close to Paul, Paul has planted, they meet a young man named Timothy, who Paul can pour into this kid named Timothy. Now you have Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul and Silas, two mature Christians pouring into Timothy, and Timothy learning from them. And then God calls them to a place called Macedonia. That's modern day Greece. So imagine you have like Europe here and you got like Spain and stuff and then you got Italy. You'll see like, it looks like a paint splatch of islands. That's Greece. God calls them to go to Greece because it is a place where Jesus has never been known. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy now go into Macedonia. They go into Greece to proclaim Jesus to people and to introduce people to Jesus. Now you have Paul, Silas, and Timothy planting churches, discipling the people in those churches, and caring for them as they introduce them to Jesus. This is an incredibly unique relationship where Paul and Silas are discipling Timothy, and Paul, Silas, and Timothy are discipling these churches. And their relationship is some of what we actually model our small groups after here at Countryside, where we have our College Life small groups who are led by students who have been changed by Jesus so that they can equip others to follow Jesus fully and introduce other people to Jesus so that they may know him and follow him fully. This is exactly what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were doing. Jesus changes our lives so that we can disciple others, so that we can equip others to follow him. And it was traveling with Paul that Silas and Timothy actually got to meet the Thessalonians. Which brings us to the next of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He opens up and he says the church. Church is a Greek word that essentially just means like assembly, like group of people. And what Christians at that time did is they kind of commandeered it to where church means the gathering of Christians. This is a beautiful thing because scripture describes the church as the bride of Jesus, the one whom Jesus loves and cares for. We are the bride of Christ. And these churches that Paul and Silas and Timothy would plant, they're meant to be governed by elders. And in the beginning of this letter, when it's addressed to the church, we know that because the letter is addressed to the church, that everything we read in this book is meant to be applied to the Christian within the church. It's like, yes, absolutely, when we read it, we can apply this individually to our lives. But the transformation that we experience with Jesus, the depth in who he is experienced within his church. When it talks about discipleship in chapter 2, that's discipleship that's meant to happen in the gathering of the saints in the church. When it talks about the result of deep community in chapter 1 and chapter 3, 4, and 5, that's meant to be experienced in the church. And so when we see it's addressed to the church of the Thessalonians, he's talking about the assembly of Christians, those who are Christians together in Thessalonica, meant to be applied together. But then it's of the Thessalonians city between the Macedonian Sea and the Black Sea, which essentially means if you were any sort of trader that was trying to make money, you would probably stop at Thessalonica for some time, maybe a day, a month, a year or so, and spend some time there trading your goods before you went on to either of the city. That makes it imagine. Someone goes to Thessalonica and they get introduced to Jesus, and then they get to take their changed life because of Jesus back to where they came from or to another place and introduce other people to Jesus. It's a really unique position, isn't it? And it's very similar to OSU, where you get people from literally all across the world coming here to a very diverse university for a short amount of time where they can get introduced to Jesus and then take Christ to the places where it has not gone or to the places where they were from. So it's very similar. Timothy to Thessalonica was the fact that Thessalonica was a place where Jesus was not known. That's it. They went to Thessalonica to share Jesus with people who needed to know it. I mean, therefore, like, think about it. We get to learn from their example. The burden that all Christians share is because we've been transformed by Jesus, we get to introduce Jesus to others. Like, getting to know who Jesus is the best part of our lives. Think about it. Like, Jesus gives us life and life abundantly. He gives us freedom from our sin and from shame. And we get to walk with deep relationship with the creator of the universe. That's amazing. But the reality is that there are many people on this planet who will never get the chance to hear about who Jesus is. Imagine with me my map of Europe. Just go down a little bit and you have the eastern part of Africa here. It's Morocco and Algeria. Now imagine as we go across the world all the way into the Middle East and into India and into China and then down into Indonesia, you have this huge section of the world that we call the 10-40 waves. You've got it's from longitude 10 to longitude 40. In it, 0.2% of the world's population lives. You've got India and China in there. But in it, 3.2 billion people will never hear about who Jesus is. Like, they literally don't have a shot. And we say that a lot here at Countryside or at College Life, but like 3.2 billion is a number that we literally cannot comprehend. I think it was a world leader during World War II that said, one death is a tragedy, 1,000 is a statistic, which just means like whenever we see large numbers, it doesn't really hit us. But we have all been privileged in this room to be introduced to Jesus. And if you walked into these doors and you hadn't been introduced yet, hey, Jesus, he's the God of the universe. You should meet him. Now you've been introduced to Jesus. Now all of us have been introduced to Jesus. It's a wonderful time. We have been blessed. And we have an opportunity that these 3.2 billion people will never have in their life. There's a burden on us to where now that we have Jesus, we have to go share. Jesus changes our lives so that we either go to those people or we play a role in supporting the people who go to those people, either spiritually or physically. Every Christian plays a role in these people knowing who Jesus is in the same way that Paul, Silas, and Timothy played a role in the Thessalonians knowing who Jesus is. And whenever they got there, the Acts says that Paul and Silas proclaim Jesus and they introduce them to Jesus for 3 Sabbath days. A Sabbath is kind of like a Sunday, so think about it for 3 weeks. Imagine never knowing who Jesus is, and then for 3 weeks, someone's there telling you all about him. But then intense persecution struck them. Like someone was drug out into the streets and beaten, and his things were taken away. And because of persecution happened, Paul and Silas left. They snuck out during the night. So now you've known Jesus for 3 weeks, and you really don't know anything about what it means to follow Jesus except for these 3 weeks. And you're being heavily persecuted, what do you do? This is the situation that the Thessalonians found themselves in. But amazingly and beautifully, because Jesus, whenever we put our faith in him, his spirit dwells inside of us, they were led by his spirit alone and acted in accordance with who he is and lived a life that was worthy of him. But Paul didn't know that yet. And so what Paul did was he sent Timothy to them about a couple months later saying, hey, I'm worried that they might all be dead or they might have fallen away. Timothy, go check them out. And what Timothy comes back with is a message about how their lives are being radically lived and that there is no doubt in anyone's mind that their lives have been changed by Christ. They're withstanding persecution and passionately pursuing a deep relationship with him just 3 weeks after learning about who he is. There's no doubt then that Paul, Silas, and Timothy played a huge role in changing the lives of the Thessalonians, right? Paul's changed life affected the Thessalonican church to the point that they probably got excited to see Paul's name on the top of this letter. Like they're like, oh my gosh, this is the guy that introduced us to Christ. And before my life was changed by Jesus, I, like Paul, was incredibly aggressive and not gentle. And gentleness is an area that I'm still growing in. I'm still being sanctified in, as we would say. Because of that, last year my words hurt more of you guys than I would like to admit. And I'm sorry. But while we walk together this next semester, know that I am learning from you guys every day how to be gentle, how to be filled with grace. I'm learning from you guys probably more than y'all are learning from me. And I pray that Jesus would make me so gentle that you guys would get excited in the same way that the Thessalonians got excited to hear from Paul. They knew Paul cared about them because Paul introduced them to Jesus. Are there people in our lives who need to be introduced to Jesus by us? Essentially saying, like, are there people in your life that you can introduce to Jesus? And you wouldn't introduce someone to someone that they already know. So it's like if I'm standing by my wife and you walked up and you said, hey, Scott, I'd like you to meet Paige. It's like, I know this person. You know? That'd be kind of goofy. So are there people in your life that don't know who Jesus is at all? And if not, should there be? He continues on and he says, the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A good question to ask before just reading through this really quick is to ask, what does it mean to be in God the Father? But I don't think we can really talk about what it means to be in God the Father without also talking about what it means to be in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus died and resurrected from the grave so that we could have a relationship with God the Father himself. And so whenever he says in God the Father, he's talking about a deep relationship with God himself because Jesus has changed their lives. It also means that we are free to live with the Father in all of our failures. Our failures past, our failures current, and our failures future. That while we still fail, we get to walk with who God is, and he still loves us in those. Being in Jesus Christ means that he changes our desires to the desires of the Father, to righteousness and desiring it and loving people and caring for people to know him. And then he says, grace to you and peace. Paul finishes this intro wishing them grace and peace, while also knowing that being in God leads to grace and peace. That means that trusting Jesus with your life, letting your life be changed by who he is, means you get a relationship with God that leads to grace when you fail and peace as we live. Is that not something that we would want? Like, without Jesus, life would not be possible with the Father. Jesus changes our lives. So as we kind of close here, I want you guys to imagine. Imagine what it would look like if we lived our lives as though we were utterly and foundationally changed by Jesus. Imagine. I want you to imagine your life without addictions, a life without shame, and a life with an intimate, like more intimate than you can ever imagine, relationship with God. All because you were introduced to Jesus. I want you to ask yourself, who can I invest in this year that by May would be excited to hear from me because I introduced them to Jesus? Who can I invest in this year that by May they would be excited to see me because I introduced them to Jesus? I want you to imagine what Countryside would look like if together we discipled each other like Paul, Silas, and Timothy did with those churches. Like, imagine what would happen if at OSU we lived a changed lives and we introduced people to Jesus who were in our fraternities and sororities. And we introduced people to Jesus who were in our classes or who were working out with at the Colvin or who we eat lunch with, time with at the very least. What would it be for us in this room to spend our time introducing people to Jesus at OSU? Do you think that the Lord would have a presence, that the Lord would do something with that to where they would feel that the Lord is chasing them? I believe that there would be. I want you to imagine what the Lord would do in the world if we surrendered our life like Paul did and allowed Jesus to have an effect on where we spend our future.